Okay, so today is our final week on the tongue. We have been spending lots of time on this subject because we want to, we want to work this out in our own lives. And part of maturing is to come to a place where we can tame the tongue. So last week we talked about how serious God is about our mouth. James has used a couple different analogies, examples, and last week he used a forest fire as an example, that it started with just a tiny little spark, and how one word from our mouth can be just as destructive as a fire is to a forest. We talked about the words that we say to others, and what we say to others lasts a lifetime for either good or evil. A sarcastic word or a critical word said out of anger, disappointment, insecurity can destroy a relationship that took years to build. Or a thought out word of encouragement or a compliment can inspire somebody for the rest of their life. Do our words speak life into people? Do they benefit others? Do they build people up? And are they helpful? If we're going to mature, and remember, this is the goal for James, is to mature. If we're going to mature, then we've got to think before we speak. Remember my elementary school, I don't even know if it's still up here, but the think for each letter, it had something. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Or is it kind? And if our words are not in any of those categories, then we probably shouldn't speak. Proverbs 15:28, I read it last week, but the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking, and the mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. We then talked about the words that have been spoken over us, over our lives, and how damaging that can be. People's words can shut our dreams down, cause us to doubt God's voice, can cause us not to walk into what God has called us to do. They can change your relationships, break your trust, ruin your marriage, ruin friendships. They can cause great pain. Hurtful words spoken over you and to you can cause the person God has created you to be to shrink back and be ineffective. And I hope that you guys spent some time on this, whether it was in your group or throughout the week. If not, it would be really beneficial to ask God for some wisdom in this area. Where have I spoken death into someone's life? Where has my words affected a relationship, a friendship, whatever? How have my words brought death into a situation? Repent for it, if whatever he brings up. Ask for forgiveness from that person. It is never too late to restore a friendship, a marriage, a relationship with a parent, a coworker, whatever it is. It's never too late to restore that. And then also ask God, what words have been spoken over your life that has hindered you from walking out what he's asked you to walk out, from doing what he's asked you to do, for being the woman that he has made you to be? What has been spoken over your life to cause you to be ineffective? Remember that God has the last word in your life. And as Shannon mentioned last week, he actually has the first word, but he also has the final word in your life. People's words over you should not dictate who you are and who you are meant to be. Only God has that right in your life. So keeping our words in mind, we're still going to be talking about words. Turn with me to our scriptures today. It's James 3. We're going to start in verse 7. And I'm just going to read verse 7 and 8 first. It says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure all of you have been to a circus at some point or have seen this in action, but I'm always amazed when the lions and the tigers come out and how these tiny little men can actually tame them and get them to do all these things on this tiny little stool. The elephants, I mean, you just name it. It's always interesting to me because these animals are like beasts. They're vicious. They're ferocious by nature. They are harmful animals, can actually kill you. And I'm amazed that these trainers can get them to do all of these things for a crowd of people when their natural nature is to kill, is to destroy. And it's interesting that James says, hey, animals can be tamed by a man, but man cannot tame the tongue. It cannot happen. And that is interesting to me. If we can control these ferocious beasts, why is it we can't seem to control this tiny muscle in our mouth? And James says, it's because it is restless, evil, full of deadly poison. I cannot control my tongue. I cannot bite my tongue. I've tried. I cannot keep my mouth shut. I've tried. But do you see what I'm saying? I cannot by myself do this. I, without the Holy Spirit, cannot achieve this. And when you're in the maturing process, when you're following Jesus, it is no longer I. It is actually us, me, and the Holy Spirit. It is the only way, He is the only way that I can even attempt to learn how to tame my tongue. The tongue is so difficult because the tongue is restless, evil, full of deadly poison. What is James saying? Why is he even saying this? He's saying that the tongue, when you translate these words, it's unruly, unsettled, unstable. Would this be how you describe your tongue and the words that come out of your mouth? He says the tongue is like deadly poison. And think about a snake, a poisonous snake. He's filled with poisonous venom. And when he bites, that venom slowly enters the human body and slowly kills the person or the animal, whatever it is that he bites. And just like a snake is full of deadly poison, so is this little tiny muscle in our mouth can actually spread a poisonous venom. And the deceptive thing about poison is that it's slow. It works secretly within the human body. You really don't know that it's in it until your body starts to respond to it. It's slow before it kills. And just how poison kills the body, so can the human tongue. One poisonous word spoken can bother us at first, but then as that word lingers, has that ever happened to you? Someone speaks something to you, you're like, that kind of bothers me. But as you process that word, as you think about that word, as you go on about your day, you're like, man, that is really bugging me. It's like poison over you. And what happens over time is it starts to kill something in you, whether that's your confidence, whether that's your personality, your character, fill in the blank, whether that's the friendship now, the friendship is now poisoned, whether that's a word from your husband, that starts to kill something in you between you and your husband. And as we speak them ourselves, it starts to kill someone's character. It starts to slander them. Unfortunately, we live in a world where we have been given way too many opportunities to use our words. We have social media. Well, just put that one out there. There's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. There's so many things. We even have a right as an American citizen. We have the right of freedom of speech. We actually have the right to say whatever we want. We're given that right. But if we are believers of Jesus Christ, we are not citizens of earth. We are citizens of heaven. We don't have that right. We may feel something, but that does not give us the right as believers to verbally speak out like most people. We do not have the right to speak it, even though we may feel it. The means of freedom of speech does not apply to us as believers. God's word says that our words should be sweet as honey. They should be wise, gentle, and kind. There are more scriptures about keeping your mouth shut than there are about opening your mouth. Why is that? Why do you think that is? I believe it's because the tongue causes division. And when we speak poisonous words, we cause division between the person that we are speaking them to instantly. The enemy loves division. It's his breeding ground. He thrives off of it. He looks for the moment and goes in for the kill. If you think about your marriage, how do most of your arguments start? Well, in my house, it's a word that was spoken or an action that was done. It causes division instantly. He knows that that you're stronger together. So the moment a word is spoken, the moment an action is done, he goes in for the division hardcore. Because remember, he comes to kill. He comes to steal and destroy. He cannot stand a thriving unity. He comes in to destroy it. And when we use our words, we actually do his work for him. It's actually that easy to actually speak something to your husband, to your children, to a friendship. Our mouth can cause the division that Satan thrives after. Another reason why we've got to figure out how to tame our tongue. There's way too much division in our country already over words, over speech, between races, politics, churches. Churches are just as bad. The enemy's having a heyday over all of this, all because we as a whole, and I'm not pointing anybody out, but we as a whole can't seem to control what's coming out of our mouth. Let's not do any more work for him. Let's use our mouth for the kingdom of God, not for any more division that's already there. Let's bring honor to others. Let's build them up. Glorify Jesus. Use our mouth for the kingdom of God. We've got work to do, and it's not to bring people down. It's not to destroy. It's to build up. What just took place to here today is a beautiful example of how our mouth should be used. I couldn't have written that even if I tried. That was such a beautiful thing for you guys to speak life into somebody who has had so much death spoken over her. It's how we are to use our mouths. It is not okay to assassinate people with our tongue. We've got to stop making excuses. Well, I was frustrated, so this just came out. Well, I was disappointed, so that's why I said that to you. Or this is just how I've always been. I've never had a filter. I'm from up north. We're loud and obnoxious, and this is our culture. We've got to stop using excuses. We've got to figure this one out. Words can't be erased because our words carry so much weight, no matter why they came out the way they did. It's interesting because we can easily remember what's been spoken over us. I mean, you could like name them off. Oh yeah, she said this, he said that, this was said. But when it comes to actually looking at ourselves and the words that we've spoken, it's a little harder, which is why I had you ask God, what words have I spoken that have done this to somebody? It's easier to remember what has been done to us. So if we know the damage that has been spoken to us, why would we in turn want to do that to someone else? Do you want your poisonous words to outlive you? And what I mean that is, God forbid something were to happen to you. Will your words be a part of your legacy that you've left behind? What words will still live on to your spouse, to your children, to your friends, to your coworkers? Flip that around. What words are you still carrying from someone who is no longer living or a part of your life? I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. With the tongue, we praise our Lord, our the Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can anybody think of another word for that? Those two scriptures? Does a word come to mind? The word hypocrite comes to mind when I read that. And I want to read you the definition of a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. A person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs. Basically, it's describing someone who is playing church. What does this verse look like in reality? Well, we can't invite a coworker to church and then a few seconds later start talking about another coworker and start gossiping about them or slandering their character. We can't gather here as women, yay Jesus, let's learn all the things about Jesus, and then go home to our spouses and cuss him out the moment we get a chance. We can't sing worship on a Sunday and praise the Lord, you're so good, and then get in the car and then flip somebody off because they cut you off on the way to lunch. It's a contradiction, and this is what James is saying. It cannot be. This is not right. Our words have to match the faith we are proclaiming. And I want to focus on a phrase that was read in these scriptures for just a minute. It says, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. We've all been made in the image of God, we know. So we need to start seeing people how God is seeing them before we speak. I think if we could remember that God loves our husbands, that God has created our husband in the likeness of Jesus Christ himself, if we could remember that before we spoke, we might not say some of the things that we actually would normally say. We've got to start looking at people through the image of God, how he has made them, that he loves them. We need to choose our words differently because God has created these people. He loves them as much as he loves you. Our speech should not change. It should be of how God has, how God sees this person. You too have been made in the image of God. You've been created. And we've been talking a lot about the words that we speak to people. We've been talking about the words that have been spoken over us. But I want to flip that a little bit. And I want to talk about the words that you speak over yourself. Do you speak life or death over yourself? Do you speak to yourself the way God speaks to you? And I think we as women, we're a little harder on ourselves. Women as a whole, we're constantly tearing ourselves down. We're our worst critics. We're not happy with the way we look, how much we weigh, the wrinkles we have, et cetera, et cetera. You know, how do I know this? Well, I work in this industry. It is my profession to make people beautiful. And 9 times out of 10, especially if they're a new client, not so much my clients, my regulars, but if I have a new client, they bring me pictures. They tell me all the things that they don't like about their hair and the things they want me to fix. So they show me a picture. It's usually like Jennifer Aniston. It's usually a celebrity. And I always have to think to myself, is it really the hair they want? Or is it the beautiful face, the flawless, airbrushed, perfect lighting, makeup done by a professional? Is this what they're really wanting? Because 9 times out of 10, Lisa, you could probably speak into this too, that it's really not the hair they want. It's not. They want that. They want her. They want her face. They want her whatever. And so I hear constantly, I hate this about myself. I've said to you before that women don't like my mirror because it's a full-length mirror and they can't stand to see what they look like. I have to turn them away sometimes. And when I do that, I am about to cry because they value themselves over what they look like or over what they see. They pick themselves apart in my chair and I am almost in tears, having to tell them, you are so hard on yourself. You're gorgeous. You're gorgeous. What are you speaking over yourself? Because what's interesting to me is some of us will speak something to ourselves that we would never say to another person. We actually speak death over ourselves more than we would somebody else. What are you speaking over yourself? I want to read you some statistics on why I know that we are harder on ourselves because of our self-talk. In 2019, I did some statistics for y'all. In 2019, the cosmetic plastic surgery industry alone was worth over $20 billion. The cosmetic industry, so makeup, skincare, $635 billion industry. And the U.S. weight loss market was worth over $72 billion. How we feel about our body image has driven these numbers year after year. These numbers 20 years ago barely existed, just to let y'all know. What are you speaking over yourself? And I'm not saying plastic surgery is bad. You shouldn't wear makeup or watch your weight. Please, that is not what I'm saying. I love concealer. You know, if I had the money, if I wasn't such a chicken, I might do some things to fix some things. I'm not saying none of this is bad. But what I'm trying to get to is the words you're speaking over yourself. This is the part that I really want you guys to get. Are you building yourself up? Are you tearing yourself down? What does your self-talk sound like? I'm not good enough. I'm just not pretty enough like her. I'm just not skinny like she is. I'm too old. I have too many wrinkles. I've got all these age spots. I wish I had my pre-baby body back. I'm too short. I'm too tall. We've all done it. We've all done it. I don't like what I see in the mirror every morning. I'm just going to stop looking. I hate this and this and this about myself. I wish I could be this, this, and this like her. What are we doing to ourselves, girls? What are we doing? Do we see what God sees? We tear down the very person that God has made us to be. What a slap in the face to our Creator to say, all this that you've made, all this that you've brought me through in life, it wasn't enough. It's not good enough. You didn't give me this. You didn't give me that. I would like a redo. You're not good at your job. What are we saying? God made you. We just heard the scripture again. You're beautifully and wonderfully made. It's how he made you. Speaking negative things like this over yourselves causes discontentment with your life, discontentment with who God's made you, jealousy, comparison. Name the list. It's a thief. Comparison is the thief. It's a thief. Do you see how destructive our words can be over our own lives? Let alone what we're speaking to others. Let me take it a step further. What lies have you partnered with? God could never use me like that. I have nothing to offer like she does. Lie. Because he created you specifically with gifts and talents to be used for his glory. Gifts that she doesn't have, but gifts that you have. I know God is calling me to this, but oh, there's no way I can do that. I'm too afraid. I don't like people. Blah, 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 blah. We make excuses. Lie. He equips you. If he's called you, he's equipped you. Period. You don't need to be afraid. Why? Because he tells you time and time again, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will never leave you. I'm too old. God could never use me. Or I'm too young. No one would listen to me. Lie. As long as you have breath in your lungs, and you're willing, he will use you in ways you never thought were possible. Or even another step further, what vows have you spoken to yourself that's feeding your loneliness? No one will ever hurt me like that again. Mm-mm. She's not going to get close to me. Nope, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I'm not going back there. I'll never trust anyone ever again. I'll make sure I push people away far enough before they even have a chance to get close to me. I'll never be able to overcome this addiction. It's too much. It's too hard. What are you speaking over yourself is just as important as what you're speaking to others. Moving on, reading verses 11 and 12. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. What is James saying? You can call a fig tree an olive tree all you want, but if it doesn't produce olives, it's not a fig tree, or it's not an olive tree. It's a fig tree. So we can't call ourselves believers, and if our words don't match, if the fruit isn't being bared, then we can say whatever we want, but the fruit is what's going to tell what we really are. So let's practically put this into place, because we've been really talking about words and all these things, but how practically can we apply these truths to our lives when it comes to words? So, four things. Taming the tongue will require, number one, realizing what's at stake. Judgment Day is at stake. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. That's Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Remember, we talked about there will be a day where we will stand before the Lord himself and have to account for every careless, idle word that we have spoken. Your judgment day is at stake. Number two, limiting your words. It'll require us to limit our words. When there are many words, transgression and offense are unavoidable. But he who controls his lips and keeps thoughtful silence is wise. Proverbs 10, 19. We're women. We like to talk. Okay? It's how God made us. But we have to be mindful that the fact that the more we talk, the more we are prone to gossip, the more we are prone to sin with our mouth, the more we are prone to slander. We have to think before we speak, but we don't always have to speak what we're thinking. Number three, recognizing what's in your heart. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's coming out of your mouth is a direct reflection of what's actually going on in your heart. Anger, jealousy, bitterness, resentment, pride, rejection, etc. This isn't kind of a one and done kind of thing. This is a daily repentance kind of thing. It's a daily heart check kind of thing, making sure that nothing is growing, making sure that nothing is festering, because out of our mouth, you will know what's going on in your heart. Do you listen to yourself talk? We had a woman in our group a couple weeks ago, and she said, you know, the Lord kind of convicted me because he challenged me with how you speak to your children. Would you speak that way to yourself? Basically, he was trying to get at the words that she was speaking to her children. She started to say to her, talk to herself the same way. She didn't like it. She recognized the words that she was speaking out of her mouth was actually something she didn't like at all for herself. So why would she continue to do it? It was a heart thing for her. The more mess we can get out of our hearts, the more room God has to fill these holes. And guess what? The more Jesus is in, the more our words will sound like him. And lastly, number four, complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. We kind of saw this earlier. We will not be able to tame our tongue. James said so. It's impossible. But we naturally don't have self-control. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's our helper. It won't be by our might, but it'll be by his power. And lastly, to ask the Holy Spirit to set a guard over your mouth. Lord, keep a watch over my lips. God, expose anything that's in my heart that is not pleasing, that will cause me to sin with my mouth. We won't be able to do this without the Holy Spirit, period. So we're gonna separate into our groups.